Welcome to the Ohio Digital Marketer Podcast. If you're a busy marketer, business owner, or industry leader in Ohio, and you need to keep up with the latest news and cutting-edge digital marketing tactics, the Ohio Digital Marketer Podcast is for you. For a summary of the essential news and advice that you need to succeed online, please visit ohiodigitalmarketer.com and sign up for our newsletter. We'll keep you informed with our brief emails that deliver essential news and advice. It's everything you need to keep up with the ever-changing world of digital marketing in 3 minutes or less. The Ohio Digital Marketer Podcast is brought to you by Sanctuary, a digital marketing group. To learn more about how Sanctuary can help you grow your business online, please visit sanctuarymg.com. Now, sit back, grab a coffee, and let's get into this week's show.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Ohio Digital Marketer Podcast. I'm Chris Allman, and I'm the president of Sanctuary. We're a digital marketing agency located in the incredible city of North Canton, Ohio. Today on the show, we'll be discussing a new initiative from the founder of the internet, Tim Berners-Lee. His new project is called Solid, and it promises to be a revolutionary platform that provides a secure and portable pod for your personal data. As we know, companies like Facebook, Google, and Amazon all collect data from their users in exchange for services. Because of the value that the services provide, we allow the services to sell our personal information to advertisers, who, in turn, target us with advertising. It's the foundation of how most digital marketing works on the internet, and Solid promises to wipe these business models out overnight. On Solid, the user will decide if they want to share their data or not when using Solid applications and services. As digital marketers, do we need to be worried that digital marketing as we know it will be upended overnight? Well, let's listen in as we hear from several senior digital marketing strategists and myself as we discuss Solid and if it's really going to be the future of the internet. Please enjoy the show, everyone. All right, everybody, welcome. We're here today with Lauren Zills and Andrew Schwalick. And we're having a conversation today about a big thing in the news, but first things first, what's going on in Lauren's world? What's new? What's fun? What's funny? What's exciting?
Oh my gosh. Well, my kids went to a sock hop last night. My whole life revolves around them. But they looked so freaking cute. I can't even explain how cute they looked. Zoe had her 50s glasses on. Jacob had his little Letterman sweater. And they were obviously stars of their sock hop.
Cool. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Nice.
Well, I have the complete opposite end of the spectrum. I'm going to a college visit today, which the cost of college and the craziness that goes on with that, oh my gosh. I mean, I always thought it was going to be expensive.
Yeah.
But it's like, wow.
I just tell you, I paid off all of my student loans last month. That has still been a thing in my life.
I'm so jealous of that.
And I'm old as dirt.
Yeah. That's like that's like a relay handoff or something. Like, you're free. I'm screwed.
I know. Yeah, we timed it perfectly.
Yeah. I'm just starting that marathon, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what's up with you? What's new?
Not a whole lot.
You're all moved and settled now?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm engaging with all of the Sanctuary social. It's been a blast so far. And already some big news happening. Google Plus is fading out, so I'm gearing up for a world without that. That's been an interesting one already.
Yeah, yeah. We've been waiting for that for a while, yeah. I think.
Yes, yeah. I agree with that, too.
Any other big news you guys want to talk about before we get into this? Little nuggets of information that we could pass on?
I don't think so. I'm, like, ready to talk about this topic.
So let's get to it. She's gonna tear Tim Berners-Lee a new one. So what we're talking about today is a news story involving Tim Berners-Lee, who he's actually been coined the inventor of the internet. There's some other wording here that doesn't quite give him that much credit, but he's the guy that came up with the concept of connecting pages together on the internet, and kind of whenever he talks, a lot of people listen online. So we're talking about a new initiative that he has called Solid, and what that means. And to be quite honest, we're kind of discovering what this is ourselves. So we're going to stumble through this and just have a conversation and see if we can discover what it's all about. So just to get us started, I'll read a couple little snippets here just to get the ball rolling. It says, that one of the articles that I read said, prime mover of the World Wide Web, Tim Berners-Lee, has long called for two things, data openness and greater respect for personal privacy online. But as a founding member of the Open Data Institute, he sees no contradiction in those aims. Again, as a prime mover of the web, Berners-Lee is uniquely positioned to see how far it has drifted from his founding vision of a shared, deep knowledge resource, linking data source with data source, and towards an advertising-fueled space full of commercial real estate surface noise and covert connections. That's a mouthful. I think there's two different directions I think we can talk about today. There's the concept of data openness, and then the other, greater respect for personal privacy. And I think those can be two separate conversations, but let me know your thoughts. Where do you guys want to dive in on this? We can talk about exactly what this is. We can talk a little bit about the concerns about privacy, however we want to go through this.
What I thought was really interesting about it, at least from the limited knowledge I have on the topic, is that when he originally set out on his venture with the World Wide Web, which can I even believe that this guy's still alive, right? I was like, I'm expecting this guy to look old as dirt on all these articles. But no, he just looks like a regular guy, like maybe in his 50s, 60s. I think he was born in the 50s maybe. But anyway, so he wanted it to have read-write capability, which it doesn't have now. That to me is interesting. I like that aspect of it. The data accessibility part, get me on a good day and I'll like really go off on the topic because I think people are super sensitive. Like, should our data be protected? Yes, absolutely. Do I think that he's going to not allow advertisers on his platform? No, I don't believe that's going to be the case. I don't know if you guys think the same thing.
I think that it's going to be an interesting transition. But before I jump into that, the way that this project is structured in my mind from reading these different articles is that there's a solid device that's going to be created. And then that device is almost the hub that allows you to maintain and organize the data that you create online in the digital world. So that means you have more control over that digital world and the things that you create, whether that's just going to view a certain web page, clicking on certain things, watching videos, you just have more control over that. So coming from that aspect and trying to utilize this project in the way that it's going to be done, if it's implemented that way, it's going to change what the digital marketing and digital world actually looks like. So for example, he's looking to have this project, from a general standpoint, create a new location online, essentially, with different apps that are going to be engaging with different sites in different ways. So how does Facebook look in that type of a world? Will Facebook adapt to that specific use case?
Well, Facebook won't be in it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It could be without Facebook. So how does Facebook manage that?
Yeah. So I'm going to botch a quote, but generally said he's not asking Facebook and Google and other platforms for permission to do this.
Right.
He's doing it outside of that with the expectation that it'll grow bigger than what they are. I think he was quoted as saying he's aiming for world domination. It's a pretty high mark there, but so, it is interesting. I think the interesting part of it is the idea of having a pod where everything communicates with each other. So the idea would be the apps aren't alive by themselves, so they all communicate with each other. So the information that you're inputting from one portion of your life, whether that be your notes, your work life, it's all communicates with each other, and you control what it communicates to and what it doesn't. That's interesting. I mean, it would be helpful if my calendar was communicating across all of my apps. And that's something that these pods, my pod, would do.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I have a good example that I can use on that too. But to be specific, a pod is, they call it a system for storing data of any kind anywhere. a portable personal container of data. So an example that I just went through, I'm like crazy about my photos, all my family photos in history, and organizing them, keeping them in a safe place just in case the house burns down or whatever. And I had it actually on Flickr to start with, and that service got a little funky. Who knows what the future of that's going to be. So then I moved it to Dropbox. The experience on there was a little weird. So that the process of downloading all that and then moving it all safely to another source was, it took me literally months just to get it all synced down and synced back up. And then I realized that the experience on there was just kind of lackluster as far as, you know, just enjoying your photos. Great place to store just raw files and information, but an experience of organizing and managing all your photos was crazy. So Google now came on the scene, and they have, you know, Google Drive and all that. And I moved everything over to Google. And it was a little bit easier this time, but it was still that just huge hurdle of I need to figure out how to take all this stuff and move it to a whole nother provider. So in theory, the way I understand it, if I had a pod and all my photos were stored on my pod, I could just plug that into a new provider. So if like this person came on the solid platform and developed a great photo management experience, I could just go bloop and plug it into that and it's all there.
Yeah. You
know, and that works for everything, you know, like you said, calendar or all kinds of different
applications. Developers would love it for that reason. Open source. I can take what you developed and build on it for what I want to create. Mm-hmm. Maybe it would anger the first person. I don't know. I feel like I might be a little upset about that. But the holistic experience is supposed to compound on each other so everyone can collaborate together. A universe where you're collaborating with anyone. It's really cool to think about. I don't know. I mean, do you guys feel like, is this really solving a big need that's out there, or is this just another solution? Is he playing on what's in the news media right now to propel his creation further? Like, is he using us just as much as Google and Facebook?
That's an interesting thought.
The thing, I guess, so how I understand it is, his company isn't going to make any money off of this. It's all just an open source platform that people can come onto and build things in a way that is portable. I could be wrong about that. I mean, they've said that he hasn't really, from the beginning, he hasn't had any ambitions to make, you know, billions. He could have, but he hasn't.
Right.
So, I mean, that says something about him. I mean, he's worth a lot through whatever he does, you know, speaking and, you know, different projects he's involved with. But I don't think his company was going to make money, but I could be wrong. I don't know.
It's more about developing
the platform.
Right. I'm interested to see how through that platform, other companies that are looking to have that monetization feature built in, what that relationship will look like.
Yeah. And I guess on that, I don't know enough to say one way or the other. I would be highly skeptical that he's not making any money on it. I mean, I have a hard time believing that. I did find an article from MarketWatch that was titled The Good and the Bad of Tim Berners-Lee's New Project on Data Privacy. And it was talking a lot about there's an existing solution out there now, the distributed ledger technology, so right. DLT. You know, is that a similar experience? And this article went through some differences in that and actually stated that the DLT is more secure because Tim Berners-Lee's solution is centralized. It's all centralized within the Solid network. The DLT is across hundreds and thousands of different servers. So that is one question of, is it really unhackable like he's promoting? I don't know.
Yeah, that is a major concern because he's touting, not only will you keep like your basic information, photos, calendar information, stuff like that, but you could essentially openly share health records and things like that, which is kind of cool in theory. You could actually decide to take your data, however you're collecting that health information, and share it with somebody that's doing deep research on that or something like that. And millions of other people could easily, with a click of a button, do that, and they have access to all that data then. Yeah. But with your permission.
Right.
And it's kind of a cool thing.
It is cool. And that there's almost the example like DLTs that you're talking mm-hmm. about in the cryptocurrency world. So mm-hmm. I invest in cryptocurrency on a minimal level because I think it's just interesting and fun.
Yeah.
And DLTs are used in the way that you can invest in any type of cryptocurrency that you want, from the big boys like Bitcoin all the way down to the smaller coins that somebody's making in their garage. And then you can put those digital coins on this ledger that you have. So almost in the same sense of solid, and then you can plug that in to any different transactional service where you want to trade that cryptocurrency and use that cryptocurrency that you have on it. So it's almost essentially a wallet that you can take and plug in to any different transactional site where you want to trade cryptocurrency and use it there. So that's just one maybe micro example of how it could potentially work in solids aspect.
So this particular person from MarketWatch was saying the best would be a mashup of both of them.
Right.
So you take solid and then you take the DLT, and because with the DLT you can generate like coins from different types of things you're doing to like, so I chose to share my information for XYZ perhaps, or I created this and I earned myself these many coins, and then you can get deals through advertisers and that sort of thing. That would be cool from a digital marketing perspective, because then we can use that. I mean, I would vote for that.
Yeah, and it's cool because the user can actually say if they want to have that out there too.
They choose.
Yeah, it's on both sides, which is really cool.
Yeah,
I agree.
You totally choose.
Very cool. A little side note. Where did I put that little snippet? There was something about, why did that not sink in my notes? Facebook may have to pay like $1.6 billion because of the data breach that they just had, which is like, wow.
Yeah, 50 million users, I think, had their information shared. Mm-hmm. Pretty wild. And email was included in that. So not something you want pushed out there.
But I just wonder how the solid platform would work, if it could be hacked, or if there's a million people on it, those are a million separate hacks. You know, can you hack it once, or would you have to hack, you know, each person's thing individually? Because each one of those would be encrypted and password protected, versus you get into Facebook and it's all there, you know? So, I mean, that could be a benefit too of the pod concept.
Yeah, that's very true. And the same with blockchain technology and that being a hot topic and in the news now as well. Yep. Having that decentralization is a good thing for the individual user. So, for example, if somebody wanted to get access to the Bitcoin that I have, then they would have to hack me individually instead of hacking all my friends as well. And it just takes a much longer process, so it's much more safe.
I've read about the blockchain technology and how it works, but don't ask me to repeat how it works. Could you articulate it?
Yeah, I can take a stab at it.
Okay.
And I'm definitely no expert either. I wish I was. It's really cool. The way that it works is the main focus is decentralization. So making sure that the information, the products, anything that you have in the blockchain world is constantly moving so that it's basically inaccessible from any point in time. So the way that it would work, as an example, think of it as a ledger. So when somebody makes a transaction, that gets put on the ledger, which is the blockchain. So once that transaction is placed on there, it's there for good. So the reason that, one, it's a useful technology is because that ledger is permanent. So if you make a transaction with a bank, you can always go back and trace that to see that that transaction happened. But the cool piece comes in that the blockchain is almost a link of different pieces of information put together, and it's constantly moving and just changing as it goes through the different evolutions, the different changes. So that's what essentially makes it unhackable, because it's always moving and it's always transforming, but at the same time, that information on it is permanent. So that's kind of, in a nutshell, how I understand the blockchain.
Yeah, from my non. Crazy cool.
It is.
The thing that's really kind of scary about that, though, is the guy that came up with the original algorithm. Didn't I read that they don't even know who it is?
Yeah, it's true.
Like, what?
Yeah. That's pretty wild.
You're trusting all this billions of dollars of financial information on something that somebody built. You don't know who he is.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty wild to think about.
I might be like the greatest conspiracy theorist, but I trust no one. I guess it's just hard for me to believe, even with good intentions. He started the World Wide Web with great intentions of it being a specific thing. And now here we're trying to start that again. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll end up that way, and that would be great. But it's hard for me maybe to visualize a world that doesn't somehow monetize itself.
Do you think
maybe
that
I'll be proved wrong?
Do you think the World Wide Web is a good thing in the form that it is right now?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I mean, any specific thing you can find flaws with. Are there flaws? Yeah, I definitely think there are, but I think we all benefit so much more from it than to our detriment. I mean, there's certain data that advertisers have about me that I appreciate. I appreciate that I saw an ad a few weeks ago that correlated to the wedding song that my husband and I had, and I saw that I could purchase a beautiful piece of wallet for that. I liked that.
That's crazy.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about it last night, and he's like, well, we should get that. You know, like, I want it. Thank you. Thank you for advertising to me. I don't think, you know, the thought that all advertising is bad bothers me. Like, I don't think that is, in general, what the majority of society thinks. I think things that are invasive are a problem. If you're getting data that we weren't given permission for, that's a problem. But I just don't, you know, I think that he's a marketer. There's a ton of stuff in the news right now. Good on him. He's been working on this for years, right? So he didn't have to come out with it right now, but he's a marketer. He's doing it because of all the data breaches that are happening. And he's playing on people's fear to, you know, to really propel the word on Solid. So good on him.
And I think that shows that there is a need as well.
Yeah.
So with all of these data breaches happening and being more frequent too, there is that need there to have some type of solid form where data is more secure. So breaches don't happen as frequently and our information is safe.
Yeah.
Maybe we could talk a little bit about that. What, in your view, either one of you, what are the privacy concerns that we have today? Like, what is a real concern?
I struggle with this type of a topic because I'm torn to both sides of it. Yeah. First, I want to be able to have my data secure. I don't want people to get access to the different emails and things. So I have my own podcast that I do. I have a website with it, and I set up the website, and by default, you have your phone number built into that, and just through certain ways of hosting, people have gotten my phone number. So now I get those calls from random telemarketers that I don't want to have. So that's one example of where I don't want my information put out there. But then at the same time, your example was fantastic. I want to be served ads that I actually want to engage with. Mm-hmm. So one really weird example was that I don't necessarily know how this worked, but I was scrolling through Twitter one day, and back in college, I had this girlfriend. I called her Princess, whatever. Take that for whatever you want. That was her nickname that we used. And scrolling through Twitter, I got an ad for a princess ring. And I had never searched anything like that, but somehow got that ad and it was perfect. And that was a gift that I got her for her birthday. And it was just perfect. So that's kind of the way that I would want ads to be used. So I'm still kind of in that middle zone of not wanting to give too much, but then at the same time being and having it used the right way.
Yeah, it's that data is being collected in such stealthy ways. Like if you use,
right.
Even if you use like Google email and you use a free account, they're collecting the words that you've used in your email on the back end so they can target you again. So if you've typed, hey, princess,
right.
Google's got that. And then that's going to be sent out and you're going to be retargeted.
Yeah. That's pretty wild to think about.
Crazy stuff.
And I think the hard part is they shove all of that information into one terms and conditions sheet that is 37 pages long, probably much longer, and nobody has the time or the effort to read into that. So I wish there was a better way for us to understand what data rights and privileges we're giving to advertisers and other companies.
The thing, we talked about this earlier, I would have more problems with it. Like our company actually pays for the Google products that we use and stuff. So, and I don't believe that they're using that for advertising. I could be wrong, but the fact that I'm paying for it, I wouldn't expect them to be using that data for ways that they're going to make money. But if I'm signing up for a free service, they got to make money somehow to support that.
Right.
And I'm all for them doing whatever they need to do, because they're giving it to me for free. There's a value to that, you know? So.
Yeah.
Data has been used for years before the internet was really prevalent, through direct mail, through a ton of other stuff. So I worked for a company before that was more traditional type of marketing, and I would rent lists all the time for our direct mail promotions. We would purchase lists from subscribers to magazines. They're paying for that subscription. When they're doing that, they're giving their name and information to that magazine, who in turn can sell that information to another company who wants to advertise to them. I think it's just more prevalent now. There's more people signing up for things online. You can access way more things than you ever could. And so it's just a hotter topic because you're giving your information actively to so many different apps and so many different platforms that now it's an issue. Before, you weren't being inundated. But now everybody wants to advertise to you. And to me, that's where the problem really comes into play. On the advertising side of things, the hacker side of things, I don't want hackers either. I mean, nobody does. And so I think that's a real problem that these pods and Solid is trying to solve, is not just advertisers, but also just keeping your information protected from people in the world that are just bad people who are trying to do malicious things.
I agree. Because, yeah, advertising is not bad. So think about it. If you're in a grocery store, you pick up a box of cereal, you look at it, you set it back down, and someone is viewing you and sees that, that's essentially what that data is like. So if you go on a website, you view a certain page, that data is there just because people are seeing it. So the people that are hosting that website obviously should be able to see what you're looking at. The same in a store. So if a store manager is walking by, see you picked up a box of Reese's, why not actually know that knowledge and then be able to retarget that type of information? So it's the same process. So I totally agree that security is more important, and that's what hopefully Solid is going to be able to focus on and hopefully cure.
Yeah, I think it'll end up being a dual world. I don't think Google's going away. I think Solid is going to be adopted slowly. There's not a ton on there now, so you know, you have to get people to adopt before anything explodes anyway. So the effects of us, I think are long term. Knock on wood if there was any around. But all in all, I think it's a great idea. I mean, I wish I had it.
I think you talked about, Chris, the monetization piece of saying, I'm getting this free service and the payment is the data that I'm giving you in turn. There was an article that I read on Solid talking about being able to hold on to your data and monetize it as an individual. So selling your data as an individual to different sites and advertisers. So I think that's an interesting topic too to look at. So saying whether or not giving my data is enough to get that free service, or if it makes sense now to charge for that free service because they're not getting the data. So then you in turn would end up selling your data to them. So I wonder if that maybe will bring on less free services in a potential world with Solid.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I think I agree that there's going to be, these things are going to be running in parallel. And my personal opinion is I think it's going to be really hard to get mass adoption for something that you would have to pay for. Like, let's say they put a Facebook-like thing on Solid, but you have to pay $5 a month. You're not going to get a billion people to sign up for that. You know, the only way to do that is to give it away for free and make it easy for people to use. So, people are it's just going to be really difficult to get huge mass adoption, the things that are going to actually compete with things like Google and Facebook and Amazon and all that stuff. Yeah. That's my opinion.
I agree. And especially at the levels that Facebook and Amazon and Google are too.
But there's still a huge opportunity. Like, I mean, I could get on there and develop my own service for a to-do list or something, whatever, and somebody's going to pay $5 a month for that just because they know that the data that they're putting on there is private, but that's never going to have 10 billion users because it's more of just you're going after a niche kind of person that is concerned about privacy. Yeah. One of the things that I just made a note on, I think we need to, it's easy for us sometimes when we're talking about privacy to look at our own lives because we're not terrorists. We're not, you know, we're in a small town. We got families. Our lives are pretty simple and stuff, so we don't really have anything to hide. But when you start talking about a topic like this, you know, for a worldwide, you know, multiple different countries and stuff like that, there could be concerns. There are legitimate privacy concerns for people in China and you know, other countries like that, where the government, like, you get locked up for seeing the wrong thing. So something like that's kind of cool that you know that you could get online and participate in a way and say things and comment on things and do things and store data in a way that the government can't get into, which is kind of cool. Not that I'm a big government conspiracy person, but in other countries, you know?
Yeah.
Not so sure.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And it's sad that they're unable to essentially just access Facebook, which is a crazy thought, being over here and having that as a free accessible service that you can connect with friends. And yeah, over in China, it's something that's heavily regulated and you can't use in a certain way. So it's good to see that there are some technologies that are being developed that'll help globalize the world even more in positive ways.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Good stuff. Anybody else have anything you want to add to this or you want to talk about? You want to rant about anything? You want to rant about?
I don't think so. I mean, ultimately, I'm just looking to learn more about it. It's interesting enough that I think something is going to happen. So I'm just going to keep educating myself so that when we have more conversations about it, we can contribute, you know, more with what actually is happening. So stay tuned.
Yeah, I think we need to have Berners-Lee in here on the podcast so that he can enlighten us and share his wisdom on the topic.
I'll call him up. I'll get his information off of Saul.
Yeah, great. All right.
Saul, sweet. Can't do that,
we'll work on that. We will work on that. All right. Well, cool. Well, let's go around the table. We can wrap up our thoughts. Lauren, you want to go first?
I say it's a good idea. But I get annoyed by people who are oversensitive about advertising. And it's a hurdle I need to get over, but it's not going to happen anytime soon.
I agree with you that I think that this solid technology overall is a great concept, especially being able to pair it with DLTs, more decentralized technologies, as well as blockchain getting in the mix as well. So I'm interested to see how this project will evolve and develop and the products that actually come about from it, because I absolutely think there are many positive things, but I'm also hesitant, like you, Lauren, when it comes to some of these articles kind of bashing advertising and saying that's the main issue we need to solve, which it's not.
No, I agree.
So that'll be the interesting thing I'm looking forward to see as Solid develops.
Yeah. And for me, I think I summed it up when it's about the portability of the data. I love that idea of being able to take something from one service and plug it immediately into another service. And that's really cool. And I think we could do, it may not be Solid. It may be, they've talked about these things called like personal APIs or, you know, there's a bunch of different ways to come at this, to store your data and make it more portable, but I think that's a really cool concept in these things.
Yeah, so. I agree.
All right, well, thank you guys for your time.
Thank
this was
you.
Very interesting and enlightening, and I learned a lot, and we'll see you guys next time.
Yeah, thanks. Stay solid.
Yeah.
Stay solid. Hey, thanks for listening, everyone. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Ohio Digital Marketer Podcast. This is Chris Allman, president of Sanctuary. Sanctuary is a digital marketing agency located in Northeast Ohio, and we specialize in helping Ohio companies grow their businesses by developing an end-to-end marketing strategy. We build custom websites and use digital marketing techniques to drive leads and sales. Ultimately, we provide leadership for businesses that need marketing results. To learn more about Sanctuary, please visit www.sanctuarymg.com. If you're a busy marketer, business owner, or industry leader in Ohio, and you need to keep up with the latest news and cutting-edge digital marketing tactics, the Ohio Digital Marketer newsletter is for you. It's an occasional summary of everything you need to keep up with in the ever-changing world of digital marketing. You can subscribe online at ohiodigitalmarketer.com or connect with us on Facebook. Just search for Ohio Digital Marketer. Thanks again, everyone, and we look forward to seeing you back here for the next episode of the Ohio Digital Marketer Podcast. Please consider subscribing by using your favorite app or service. If you'd like to get in touch with me or anyone else that you hear on this podcast, simply send us an email. We'd love to chat about your business and goals. You can email anyone at Sanctuary using their name at sanctuarymg.com. Have a great week, everyone.